Somebody give it up for my choir. Amen. The voices of Hopewell. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, it makes me no difference how modern the church becomes. There is nothing like a good old singing sanctuary choir. That's what the old preachers would call it, the sanctuary choir. Amen. Come on, give it up for the music ministry one more time. Our praise team, our choir, our musicians. Come on, you all, make some noise for them. Make some noise for them. My goodness, they sounded absolutely amazing. And we give God the praise and the glory for that. Amen, amen, amen. Look over to your neighbor. Say something to him. Say, give him a compliment. Amen. Say something to him this morning. Amen. You've been sitting next to him for over 35 minutes. Amen. Say something to them this morning. Amen. But this is the day once again that the Lord has made, and we are going. We are making the deliberate intention to be able to rejoice and be glad in it. We are excited, amen, that we get to come together again to be able to lift up the name of Jesus for all of his grace and mercy and kindness towards us, him being so mindful to allow us to breathe and wake up and to see another day. We give God the praise, the glory, and the thanks for it. Listen, we're getting ready to get right to the Word of God. I want to bring a few things to you, and then we're going to make our way to the Word of God. We want to keep our own Mother Annie Mae Ampey lifted in prayer. Her sister passed away a few days ago. Mother, you know that we love you. You know that just like I told you on our phone, we got your back. You know whatever it is that you need, we want to be able to do just that. We want to keep Mother Rose Mack lifted in prayer as well. She's been in the hospital for the past few days. She'll be going home today. Praise God. She'll be going home today. Amen. Has some issues with her blood pressure, but thank God that she has amazing children that are right there by her side to take care of Mama. So we want to keep her lifted in prayer. Amen. Amen. So much going on in our world, so much going on among us, but the good news is God is yet still able, and God is yet still in control. Do I have any witnesses in the house that know God, that God is able, and that he is yet still in control? Yes, he is. He is yet still in control. I have just been bragging about it and just super excited, or as Carrie used to say when she was little, super excited about what God has been doing here at the Well during our time of fasting, during our time of prayer. As you can tell, stuff is intensifying. Worship is intensifying. Things are shifting. Things are changing. You cannot tell me that you can come into the presence of God with prayer and with fasting and things not change. Something changed within you. Something changed around for others, for those that are around you. I am excited. I am excited. I am excited about what God is doing and the level of prayer that he is allowing us to be able to experience as a body of believers. Want to encourage you. If you have not made it out to any of our prayer nights over the past 3 weeks, I want to encourage you. Every Wednesday this month, everybody say every Wednesday. Every Wednesday this month, we are corporately interceding. We are corporately praying over different prayer focuses. This past Wednesday, amen, we prayed over our entire leadership team. We called them out by name, and we spoke the word of God over their lives. We prayed intentionally and specifically for them, not just about what they do here when it comes to ministry, but in their own lives. We prayed over their marriages. We prayed over their singleness. We prayed over their children. We prayed over their finances. We prayed over their health. Amen. That God will continue to show himself strong in their lives. This coming Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're going to be praying over all of our ministries here at the Well, and not just the ministries that are here at the Well, but we're going to be praying over those volunteers that give their time and their services, amen, in helping the Hope Well experience. That's right, baby. Yeah, that helps the Hope Well experience be exactly what it is. Speaking of volunteers, let me just pause and say thank you for all of those who willingly and quickly signed up to be able to serve at Lewis Elementary School next week for their Valentine's Day breakfast. Give it up for yourselves. Thank you so much. We're living out of our vision. We're living out of our vision of being able to help them with that. And then praise God for those that signed up to volunteer for Children's Church on Third Sundays. Brand new faces. Everybody say brand new faces. Brand new faces that signed up. That helped me give God praise and glory for that. I am grateful. I am thankful for that and what God is doing here at the Well and how he's allowing us to be able to make an impact. Amen. Especially when it comes to our children and adding that additional Sunday to be able to continue continue to bring consistency as they are learning more about Jesus. I'm always excited when we get home and Carrie and Kenny are either singing a song they learned from children's church, citing some scripture that they learned, or asking me something. They be having me going back to the Bible and refreshing my mind about certain stuff. So I'm excited to see that our kids are developing a love and a thirst and a hunger for God, and they love being at church. Nobody is making these kids come. Well, maybe their parents might be, but thank God that they're here. Amen. But they love being here, and they're loving being able to grow in the things of God. So I am a happy pastor. Amen. Because of that, I am a happy pastor because of that. Listen, let's grab our Bible. Stand with me. Amen. As we go to Psalms 119. As we're wrapping up our series that we have been in for the past 4 weeks, Hungry for God. Psalms 119. Just one verse. Verse 2 to all of our elders and deacons, to our ministers, to our mothers, amen, to Sister Swims, and to all of God's people. We are just grateful. We're just thankful, amen, for what the Lord is doing here right now. Psalms 119, verse 2. I'm going to read from the King James Version, but I also want to read from the New Living Translation of the Bible as well. New King James Version says, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies." I really want to horn in on this latter part of verse 2. "Who seek him with the whole heart." New Living Translation says, "Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all of their hearts." I want to preach this morning as we close out this series from the title, "How to Stay Hungry for God." How to stay hungry for God. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, just in case you didn't hear the preacher, he's going to preach about how to stay hungry for God." Turn to your other neighbor. You weren't supposed to say other neighbor. You turn to the neighbor. They try to figure out who you are. They ain't my name. They about to get mad already. Listen, turn to your other neighbor and say, "Neighbor, just in case you didn't hear what I told my other neighbor, the preacher's going to preach about how to stay hungry for God." God, we thank you. God, we praise you. God, we magnify you. God, we lift you up. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How to stay hungry for God. How to stay hungry for God. Most times, it's not really about how you start. And it's not always about how you finish. But sometimes the most important part is, how do I maintain what I've already been doing? Starting is great. You want to be able to have a good start. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. You have to have a good start. Most times that is the biggest hindrance that we have when it comes to our spiritual growth and development, and the delayment that we see is simply because we have not gotten started. And so once we get started, our main part is to be able to see the finish line. And we're so focused on the finish line, Brother Steele. We're so focused on the end result that we fail to miss an important essential to it all. How do I maintain what I've already been doing? I've started well. I have the end result in mind, Brother Moses, but how do I maintain what I have already began? That should be a question that all of us are asking, even though we're in the second month of a brand new year, even though we have been intentional as we have kicked off this year and started this year off with prayer and with fasting. Now, yes, we are done fasting as a church, but how do I continue that in my own personal walk with God? Yes, we have been coming together corporately to be able to pray. And I told you, Holy Spirit convicted me that we needed to raise our prayer level privately and corporately. And we're on the right path when it comes to corporately being able to do that. But how do I sustain that when it comes to my own individual prayer life? How do I continue to pray, Sister Sylvia, when we're not praying corporately as a church? How do I continue to make fasting as a part of my spiritual growth plan and development plan in my own life when we're not fasting as a local body? Because, hey, Holy Spirit may say, yes, the church may not be fasting, but I still need you to seek me through fasting. Yes, the church is continuing in their call to be able to pray corporately, but I may be saying, hey, I want to wake you up in the morning to talk to me. Because, you know, most times where you may be lying there in the bed and you are ready to go to sleep, it's been a long week, or you're anticipating the day, the week coming, or the day that's coming, you laying there in the bed and you cannot go to sleep, or you go to sleep at a good time. In fact, you made sure that you was going to have some good sleep, so you took you some melatonin, you took you some NyQuil, amen, yes you do. Oh, yes, I took a Tylenol PM last night and slept great. Oh, yes, we do that. I slept real good. Plan to take two tonight. Praise God. Amen. I'm not a drug addict. No, I'm not. Amen. Just want to be able to help me sleep a little bit better that night. But most times when we are experiencing that and not able to go to sleep right away, how are you not able to go to sleep after you have taken some NyQuil and you're still waking up? Could it be that in those moments where you should be in a comatose sleep, that Holy Spirit is awakening you not so that you can be able to scroll on your phone on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram, but could it be the Holy Spirit is using that time to wake you up because there's something that he has that he wants you to be able to receive. There's something that he has to say to us that he is using certain times in our lives to wake us up so that we can come and be with him. All of this, my prayer is for us as a local body of believers, is that it has awakened something on the inside of us, that there has been an awakening on the inside of our hearts, a longing on the inside of our hearts, an anticipation on the inside of our hearts to be able to have a greater craving for God, an appetite, where we're wanting more of him. And we're seeing that as once I get with him in my time with prayer, he's showing himself. When I get with him in my time of the word, he's coming to me. That when I come to him in those moments of worship, that I am getting closer to him. Yeah. We're seeing that our appetite is growing and that we're wanting more of who. How do we maintain that? How do we keep a steady diet for God when there's so much that's pulling for our attention in our hearts? Man, how do I develop a steady, consistent appetite and hunger for God? When I got work, I got family, I got bills, I got life, I got stuff that I'm wrestling with internally that no one knows about, but I put a smile on my face and I'm happy and I'm go-lucky, but no one really knows what's happening on the inside. How do I maintain a consistent appetite and diet for God when society is just running rampant and crazy and I'm trying to stay focused on the things of God, but there's so much grasping for my heart and my attention? Because I like what one writer says. He says that our appetite is going to dictate our actions. Our hunger will dictate our action. What we continue to consume is soon going to produce. So in other words, whatever you consistently eat on, you're going to see a product of about what you have eaten. Can we look at ourselves honestly and take an honest assessment and says, that I have been eating so much and feasting on so much of God that you can see evidently in my life without me ever opening up my mouth to say anything, that you can see Jesus in me? Have I been feasting so much on God that when I encounter a rude cashier at Walmart and Kroger, thank you, Elder, who's having a bad day and I just happen to be the customer that they want to relinquish and release all of their wrath on, have I been feasting enough with the master that even though they're talking crazy, acting crazy, looking crazy, that my composure stays the same, that I'm not trying to do what society says and match energy? Have we been feasting and spending so much time with God that when your spouse, that was the wrong my God, Sister Swims. We ain't talking about your spouse. I'm talking about everybody else's spouse. Now you got the saints wondering, what's going on there? Ain't nothing going on. That was the wrong amen. Say that one for later. Not there. Too soon, yeah. That when your spouse is not cooperating with you the way that you like, is your response, have you spent enough time with God that now when they are not doing what you desire for them to do or behaving the way that you desire for them to behave, are you displaying the fruit of the spirit of long-suffering? When your kids, you can say amen on this one. When your kids are walking on the tail end of your nerves, am I showing the compassion and the love and the kindness that may be needed at the moment? Have we been feasted enough with God that it's evident that we have been with him? Real quick from the gate, we stay hungry for God when we persistently pursue him without no end. Please, please, please write this down. Take a picture of it. Put it in your photo album so that you can bring it up to remind you. Print it off tomorrow and put it on your desk on the refrigerator. We stay hungry for God when we are persistently and intentionally and deliberately pursuing him without no end. This is again what Jesus said to the church at Ephesus. Listen, you have lost your first love. You have neglected me. You have abandoned me. You have walked off from me. You are with someone else. Someone else has your heart. Someone else has your attention. But is our pursuit of God the same? Are we pursuing him with the same passion that we had when we first got saved, and now we kind of filled it off because we know, okay, I started off well. My end result is to be with him in heaven, but I'm having trouble with maintaining in the middle part, the middle ground. Is my pursuit of him still the same? Is there fire? Is there passion? Is there desire behind my pursuit of him? Or am I okay with having a stale relationship with Christ? Have we stopped pursuing? Have we stopped seeking him? Because the truth of the matter is, if we want to be able to pursue him, if we want to be able to stay hungry for God, it takes on our end a persistent pursuit after him with no end, a persistent pursuit with passion and love with no end, to be able to keep the fire going. Psalm 18 is one of the longest psalms in the Bible, one of the longest scriptures in the Bible as well. And what I love so much about it is that the whole emphasis of Psalms 119 is the word of God. It shows the value of the Word of God. It shows the impact of the Word of God. When we put the Word of God in place in our lives, it starts off by saying in verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Some versions may say happy or joyful, but it says that being blessed is not just about having stuff. But that blessed is a state of mind. Blessed is happy. Blessed is something that happens in the believer of Jesus Christ. When we have made the priority of the Word of God a priority in our lives, and not just the Word of God a priority in our lives, but that we have made, please don't miss this part, but that we have made the Word of God something that we are intentionally and deliberately striving to live and to walk out in our lives. That we have made the Word of God something that we are using as a guide in our lives. I know sometimes we're asking Google certain things. I know sometimes we're asking ChatGPT certain things. I know sometimes we're asking Alexa certain things about help that we need and assistance that we need. But when was the last time that we have wholly depended upon the Word of God to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? When was the last time that we solely depended on the Word of God to navigate us and to sustain us through life's twists and turns? What Psalms 19 is showing us, that in the life of every believer, that there should be a dependency on the Word of God, that we are not memorizing, that we're not just quoting, but that we're using His Word as a guiding light to help us, to assist us through the twists and turns in life. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that the Word of God should be helping us in growing our marriages. That the Word of God should be helping us to be successful singles. That the Word of God is assisting us in raising kingdom children. That the Word of God is assisting us in being good stewards of our finances. That the Word of God is helping us to be good stewards of the bodies that He has given us. That the Word of God is helping us to be able to know how to deal with all people, not just the folks that you like, but the folks that you may not like, and the people that He's placing around you to help you develop the fruit of the Spirit. That the Word of God is guiding, should be guiding every area of our lives. That we don't have to ask Dr. Phil what they think. We don't have to watch a TED Talk with Oprah. Nothing against Oprah. Nothing against TED Talk. Nothing against Dr. Phil. Nothing against them at all. But we should be looking to the Word of God to guide every step and area of our lives. Decisions we need to make, we ought to be consulting the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say about that. How we live our lives on a daily basis, we should be looking to the Word of God to help us and to guide us and to lead us through that. We should be depending upon the Word of God for every area of our lives so that we may experience success. That's how we stay hungry for God. That's how we remain a consistency in our walk with God. That the Word becomes central and center for everything. Now, seeking God may include prayer. Seeking God may include worship. Seeking God may even include fasting. And all those things are great. But get this, saints of God. If the focus of prayer, if the focus of worship, if the focus of fasting isn't on the word of God, our endeavors could be misguided and or misdirected. Oh, I know I'm preaching good this morning. Oh, yes, I am. This is my good friend and Pastor Terry Holder down at Christ Temple Church of God in Christ. When he says something real good, he repeats it back to himself. Oh, yes, I did. If prayer, if worship, if fasting isn't centered on the word of God, our endeavors can be misguided. And when our endeavors are misguided, thank you, Holy Spirit, we develop unexpectation. We develop unexpected expectations of God on things that he never said or promised us. Because our motives and our desire in the prayer, in the fasting, in the worship was more centered around results and never about him. Oh, God, I'm going to say it again. If our prayer, if the focus of prayer, if the focus of worship, if the focus of fasting is not centered around God, our endeavors will be misdirected and our endeavors will be misguided, which means we will soon develop unexpectations of God on things that he has never said nor promised. When we allow for prayer and worship and fasting to be the vehicle to a solution, but never to him. Never to get him, but we're just looking for results. When prayer is only centered around results, then our attitude becomes, well, God, just get me out of this. But what if God has some other plans about the storm that you're in? What if God has you in the storm because he wants to teach you something about him that you wouldn't know without the storm? And we're so geared towards the results and getting out of it. And he said, hey, you're missing the picture. Yes, I can bring you out, but I can also show up in the middle of your crisis. I can show up in the middle of the and show you something about me that you did not know. But you keep rushing and keep pushing, trying to get out to get to the end, and you're not fully developed yet. When my aim for prayer is just results driven, I miss getting him. When my aim for worship is just, oh, I just want to feel good in his presence. Oh man, I'm telling you, if the choir sing my song today, I'm letting you know I'm gonna cut up. I'm act the fool in church. I'm act the fool. I mean, I'm gonna take the whole row out. I don't care. I'm gonna sweat my hair. But is your aim is just for you to have some type of emotional ecstasy? Or is our aim is to get him? Because here's what I've learned about worship. There have been moments where I have gotten up and had an attitude with God and did not want to open up my mouth. In fact, I told myself, I'm not saying nothing at all today. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not lifting up my hands. Don't look at me like that, because y'all all have done. I've seen you all do it. Don't look at me like this. I've seen you do it. But I said, I'm not saying nothing. I'm not doing nothing, because I thought he was going to show himself strong. Here I am talking about God and how big he is, how great he is, and he has yet still not done what I've asked him to do. And it's been those moments in worship that the Holy Spirit would convict me. Tap me on that shoulder. Who you think you are, sir? Hey, talking to you. Who you think you are? Don't you hear them talking about how great I am? They're not talking about you. They're talking about my greatness. They're talking about my splendor. Oh, why are you trying to take my glory away from me? It's been those moments in worship that you may have seen tears come down my eyes. It's not because I felt some type of way. It's because the Holy Ghost convicted me and reminded me of my place and who he is and who I am. When worship is not focused around the word of God, our endeavors become cloudy and misdirected. Yeah. we go for results rather than him. If fasting isn't focused on the word of God, we'll think that God is our magic genie. And now we use fasting to manipulate God into doing something that I want him to do. But if I don't see prayer, if I don't see worship, if I don't see fasting as a vehicle that gets me closer to him, my endeavors become misguided. My endeavors become misdirected because our aim and our focus hasn't been on him, but it's been on other stuff. How do I stay hungry for God? Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole hearts. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Let me ask this question this morning. What are you searching for? What are you searching for? What is it that you're looking for? What is it that you're investigating for? Are we looking, are we limiting God to just results, or are we looking to be able to get him? I like the way A.R. Fawcett writes this. He says, seek him, that is, a knowledge of him with the desire for conformity to his will. Let me read that again. I like it. He says, seek him, that is, a knowledge of him with a desire for conformity to his will. So that means that as I'm trying to maintain what I've already developed, my seeking him is not just saying that I'm seeking after him. My seeking him is so that I can be able to line up every area of my life that in turn I can be able, so that I can in turn conform every area of my life to his will. Well, what is his will, Pastor? His word. His will is his word. So as I'm seeking him through prayer, as I'm seeking him through worship, as I'm seeking him through fasting, and I have the word of God there that is leading and guiding all of my seeking, the end result is so that I can be able to conform my will to his, so that I can be able to let go of my will and my ways and what I think and how I think, so that I can be able to line those things up with his word, so that those things can be conformed to his will. It means it brings about a greater responsibility. It brings about not a greater responsibility, but it brings about a different intentionality as we are seeking God. Because in my seeking him, whatever it is I'm bringing before him in prayer, whatever it is that I'm bringing before him in fasting, I'm saying, okay, God, here is what I have. I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this marriage to you. I'm giving these finances to you. I'm giving my health to you. I'm giving these kids to you, Father God. And my hope is, oh God, that as I'm seeking you through your word, Father God, that you will show me and begin to work with me to show me how to conform all of this to your will and your way. So in our seeking, oh God, I'm about to get in trouble. In our seeking, there has to be some dying. In our seeking, There has to be some dying. There have to be some dying. We have to be like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he looked into the cup and he saw what was all in the cup. He said, Lord, if you can't let this cup be moved, he prayed not once, not twice, but three times, or he would not break. And then he ended by saying, okay, God, not my will, but your will be done. In that moment, he exchanged his will so that he could conform to the will of his Father. And saints of God, all of us in this room, all of us that are watching online, we should not be result driven, but our aim and our desire should be that we are seeking, we are seeking, we are seeking, we are seeking to come up to him with something that we can be able to give him, and he turns it and he turns our hearts so that we can be able to conform to his will. But here's the sad reality: you'll never know what his will is if you don't get in his word. You have people that are searching. They will go down. They're going. They're looking. They're traveling, trying to find the hottest evangelist, the hottest prophet. I'm not against prophets, but against prophets or any of those things. But if you trust a prophet that you don't know more than your own pastor, you need to change churches or something and go follow after them. If you trust the voice of a stranger that you do not know, but don't trust the one that speaks over you every week, week in and week out, and interceding on your behalf. I know I won't get no help on that one, but I'll take that one for myself. Amen. Then there is a problem. There is a problem in that if you're running for every hot thing to come and to give you a word, if you're looking for someone online who does not even know you to pastor you online, to lead you online, and you're looking and they got schemes and games and saying, hey, I will send you a bottle of water if you send me $50. We got water here at the church for free. Bring your cup and fill it up. Amen. Oh, they give you a prayer cloth. I can cut a piece of my robes and pray over it and give it to you for free if you are willing, if you're going after that, but you have never taking the time to seek the word of God. Newsflash here, saints of God. God will share the plan and the purpose that he has for your life for free. All you have to do is pick up your word. Oh, I get bored reading. That's okay. Technology has advanced. Go ahead and get your tablet. Pick the voice that you want. A deep voice, a small voice, medium voice, male, female. Doesn't make a difference. In another language, Portuguese, Spanish, Arabian, it will speak to you and let you know the plans and the purpose and the destiny that God has for your life. But if we want to know the will of God, it means that we got to get up and stop being lazy and stop blaming everybody else for everything else and say, this will be the year that I grow in my walk with God. This will be the year that I will know the will of God for my life, for my spouse, for my kids, for my business, because I'm going to get in his word. And the whole church said, conforming, thank you, Juice, conforming to his will. But I never know his will if I don't open up his word. And it's going to be work, because I just can't take one verse and isolate it from everything else about what's going on in that text. And I'm claiming stuff, and you're claiming things from his word that you haven't taken the time to study to find out he wasn't directly talking to you. I never know his will and what he desires to do in my life if I don't get in his word. How do I stay hungry for God? It's when I seek him persistently without no end. But as I'm seeking him, I'm dying at the same time, so that my will gets out of the way and so that I can conform to his will. I'm going to ask you one more question. I know I ask a lot of questions. I'm not being nosy. Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am being nosy. I'm going to ask you this question, and that's it. What's your growth plan? What's your growth plan? I've realized we give attention to what we value. We give attention to what matters to us. And what we don't value and what is not a priority in our lives, we don't give attention to. Let me say it again. What we value, we give attention to. I'm very particular about the pens that I use. Y'all all know that. I am a huge fan of pens and journals. I have to stop the kids at school because when they see my journal, oh, Mrs. Swins, you got a diary. Ah, it's not a diary. It's a journal. There's a difference. Correct them every time. Very particular. I just can't order a journal offline, Reverend, because I want to feel the paper. I like for the paper to be smooth when I write on it. I like the way it feels. I want to feel the paper in that. Certain kind of pens that I like. I like when they're smooth and how they write real good. There are some pens, Brother Steele, that's for the public. And there are some that are just for me. Holy Spirit is working on me. I was somewhere, and I don't know what came over me. A person was looking for a pen, and the next thing I said, oh, do you need a pen? I thought to myself, what are you, what? Why did you ask him that? What's wrong with you? He's working on me, Reverend. And so I said it before I knew it, Deacon, and I'm hoping, Sister Tanya, that they're going to say, no, I don't. And I just knew that God was going to perform a miracle. They was going to find a pen in their purse. Lo and behold, they did not find a pen. Well, you know what? Yeah, I do need a pen. I said, what? Took out my good silver pen, gave it to him. I'm shaking. I said, here. My eyes did not come off of them until I got my pen back. In fact, the session was over and Deacon Algin, we were getting ready to depart and get ready. God said, wait a minute, hold on a second. Oh, I want to say back, you can keep your Bible. I want my pen back, brother. Oh, you're right, Mr. Swin, that pen writes real. Yes, it does write well. Give it back before you get too attached. They're valuable to me, so I give attention to them because they're valuable. What we don't value or have as a high priority, we don't give attention to it. God, can we be honest today to say, yeah, I show up every week for church. Yep, I come to Bible study. I come to Sunday school. I do all those things. Yep, I serve. Yep, I give. But when it comes to me growing spiritually in his word, through the word, that is not always a high priority. And can I tell you something, saints of God? There is a lion walking around roaring, looking to see who he can devour. And it's sad that believers of Jesus Christ are having church and doing church and having a good time, but nobody hears the enemy roaring. And no one has the word of God in them that gives them the stamina and the endurance and the capacity to be able to fight against the enemy. What's your growth plan? Am I making intentional, deliberate time that I spend with him every day? And it's going to look different for everybody. For some, it may be in the morning before you get your day going. For some, it may be in the afternoon. For some, it may be at night. Some, it may be at their cubicle. For some, it may be in their chair. For some, they need to just walk and just talk with God at the park. Yeah. But what's your growth plan? Because I want to be able to maintain and sustain that appetite that I have for him corporately, that it bleeds into my life privately. Because I want to grow. I want to grow. But before it becomes a plan, is it already a priority? Is the word of God a priority in your life? That you look towards it for everything. But you're seeing what God, what he got to say about that? Let me hear what he got to say. What's your growth plan? What is your growth plan? What is your growth plan? How do you see yourself come the end of this year? How do you see yourself come second quarter of the year? How do you see yourself before Christmas? How do you see yourself this summer? What's your growth plan? When I seek him, and am I really seeking? Am I really seeking so that I can conform? Or am I seeking to give the illusion that I'm a deep believer? You know those that be real deep about everything? Some stuff just don't really be that deep. Just don't. I'd be confused. I said, well, maybe. I come to the conclusion, it's me. It's me. But am I seeking to conform to his will and to conform to his way? That's it. Closing it up. I'm done. How do we stay hungry for God? Consistent hunger and realizing that there are some things money ain't gonna be able to solve. Then that don't get me wrong. There's a lot of stuff that sprinkle a little money on it can make it better. But you will find in some things, having more is not always the answer. But in every believer, that there's a void that only God can fill. And he's looking and he's creating scenarios where we run to him. Thank God, old St. Saltus said he's a shelter in the time of storm. Old deacons would say he's your leaning post. But in him being my leaning post, in him being my shelter in the time of storm, even in the midst of a crisis, is yet still the seek for me to be able to conform to his will. There was something he wanted to show us about him that we didn't know. So our prayer should be, Lord, keep me hungry for you. Keep me hungry for you. God, keep me. Never want to lose that thirst. Never want to lose that passion. Never want to use that desire. Lord, keep me hungry. Keep me hungry for you, God. Keep me hungry for you. Should be the prayer and the desire of every believer of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know where we are. You know where we're not. Father, you know who we are and you know what we're not. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak all of these people, Father God, these precious people of God that you have plans and purposes for and destinies for, Father. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that the seek will begin to start, Father God, that we go deeper and grow deeper within you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you will create an appetite, Father, in the name of Jesus. Create a hunger, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that will lead us to you, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through worship, whether it's through fasting, Father God. Let the end result be, Father God, that we just don't get our prayers answered, Father God. Let the end result be that we just don't get healed, Father. Let the end result be that we just don't get the provision, Father God. Let the end result be, oh God, that we just don't get the blessings, oh God. Let the end result be, let the end result not be, Father God, that we just get stuff, but let the end result be, oh God, that we get you, God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Let the end result be, oh God, that we get you, Father God, that we have more of you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you will continue to intensify our worship, oh God. Continue to intensify, oh God, our prayer life, oh God. Continue to intensify, oh God, our time in the Word with you, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Let it so be, oh God, that you will begin to do a thing in us, oh God, that will catch fire and become contagious, oh God, in our homes, oh God, around our friends, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. You've given us influence that we don't even know that we have, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray now, God, that we, oh God, will be mindful, Lord God, of what you want to say to us, oh God, what you desire to do in us, oh God. I pray, Father God, that we die daily to our flesh, oh God. I pray that we die daily to our wills, oh God. I pray that we die daily to our ambitions, oh God. Not that you're anti-ambitions, oh God, but you want our ambitions, oh God, centered around you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. That we don't leave you out of our plans, oh God, but we include you in our plans, oh God, and that we leave space, oh God, for you to move and navigate how you see fit. Help us to be sensitive to you, Lord. To be sensitive, Father. Sensitive to you, Lord. Not our will, but your will be accomplished in our lives. We give it to you today. Praying that we be conformed. God, I pray for the one that's frustrated right now, God. They're frustrated beyond. They're frustrated, Father God. They need answers. I pray, God, that they will bring your frustrations to you, oh God, and that they will submit your frustrations to you, Father God, that it may be conformed to your will, God. Our anger, our anxiety, our impatience, we submit it to you today, that it may be conformed to your will, Father God. Our impatience, Father God, our impatience in waiting, Lord God. We have been waiting and waiting and waiting. We feel like we've been waiting forever. Nothing has changed. I pray that we submit that to you, Lord, that it may be conformed to your will. We have no idea what you're protecting us from, God. We have no idea, Father God, conversations that you have heard, motives that you have seen, oh God, that we have not been aware of, God. We thank you, Father God, that even in your rejection, even in rejection, Father God, that we will conform that thing to your will, oh God, and see your direction for our lives. Come on, just indulge me for a second. Just lift those hands in worship. Just lift those hands in worship. Lift those hands in worship. I was just watching online. Just worship right from where you are. Worship from right where you are. We want to keep our hearts in the right postures. We want to keep our minds in the right posture. Just worship right where you are. Oh, if you want to come and kneel at the altar, listen, the altar is open. If you want to make an altar right where you are, we're just going to worship. 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 We want to center our thoughts. We want to center our hearts. We want to center our minds on him. We want to pour back our worship. We want to pour back our praise to him, only him. We want to give it back to him today. That no matter what it may feel like, no matter what it may sound like, God, only you. Only you. Come on, lift those voices in worship. Lift those voices in worship. Come on, turn your volume up, Turn your volume up. The end result is him, not stuff. The end result is him. 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 Is him. The end result is you, God. The end result is you. Come on. Worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy, oh God. We set our hearts on you. We set our minds on you. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voices, lift your voices, lift your voices. Lift your voices, lift your voices. Hallelujah. 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 The end result is him. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Come on, lift your worship. Lift your worship. Lift your worship. Lift your worship. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give you the glory. We give you the praise. God, we submit our hearts to you today. That our hearts may be conformed to your will, God. Give us the right motives, oh God, even in our asking, oh God, even in our trusting, even in our believing, God. Give us the right motives, oh God. Give us the right motives. Give us the right motives. In Jesus' name. There may be someone here that's